Thank you, thank you. What he didn't say was when he first met me that he was going to be stuck with me forever. So lucky him on that one. But as he said, my name is Chloe, and I have the absolute privilege to bring what I feel like God is saying to us as a church this morning. As Aaron spoke last week, we are doing a series on divine assignment. And I believe this morning that we're going to be thinking about and speaking into, as Aaron said, the future of what our divine assignment is now and what God's got for us as we go forward. And I know Aaron has just prayed, but I really want us just to take a moment. And we're just going to really reflect and ask God just to speak to us all just now. Would you just put your hands out in front of you like this? As a sign and a symbol to say, hey, God, I want to receive what you have for me this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you love us. And we thank you that you died for each and every person in this room and every person watching online. We thank you that you are the glorious High King. And we choose right now to position ourselves to hear from you. Right now, Lord Jesus, we ask you to speak to each and every one of us. Will you impart something of who you are and what you're doing in each of our lives right now? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Fantastic. As Aaron said, my name's Chloe and I'm married to Josh, who was up here earlier, and we lead the youth and young adults work here at Riverside. And our young adults group meets every Monday night, and we met last Monday for the first time in 2024. And every start of a new year, Josh likes to do something with us as a young adults group. He likes us to sit together and to pray and to ask God, what is a word that you have for me, God, for this next year? So we came on Monday night and we were ready, you know, getting ourselves prepared to pray into that word. And Josh did something a bit different. He asked us to sit and to stop and to reflect on the year that had just been. He asked us to think of words that we would use to describe our year, maybe scriptures that we had been praying over that year, maybe what we were grateful to God for or what our relationship with Jesus in that year had been like. And I think this was the first time that I'd actually stopped at the start of a new year and thought about the year that had just gone. For those of you who know me, and as Aaron kind of said, I'm a bit of a go-getter. I'm one of those kind of people that a thought really hasn't even left my head, let alone I've spoken out of my mouth, let alone anyone else has heard it, and I'm there. I want to be on it. I want to be doing it. And I get a bit like that around New Year. When it comes to Christmas, I kind of get a bit itchy and I'm ready for the next thing. I'm ready to move into the new year and ready to leave behind everything that's happened and jump into what's next. But it was nice to take that moment to actually go, well, God, where were you in my year just gone? What had you been doing in my year? What had you been speaking to me about? Where had you been? Where had I seen you? And I often feel like in our faith, we can get a bit like me, a bit itchy to move on to the next thing, a bit ready to be like, oh, that thing's done, that thing's gone. I want to move on to what's next. Sometimes God does things in our life, things that are amazing, things that are fantastic, answers to prayer, healings that we see in our life. And then we so often, so quickly, just move on to the next thing. We say, thank you, God, so much. That was amazing. And I'm moving on to what's next. And we forget what he did in that moment in the past. We forget that he healed that family member. We forget that he was there in that situation. We so quickly move on, forgetting in the future what he did in our past. And I believe our divine assignment for this morning is God wants us to recognize in him in our past so we see him in our present and we trust him with our future. And I believe, to quote Hebrews 13, verse 8, God wants to remind us that he is the God of yesterday, the God of today, and the God of forever. In Genesis, we read a story of a man who goes through something a bit like this. And that man's name is Joseph. And you might know that story, you might not. His story is a great one, but also in the Bible, his story is a bit of a long one. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sum up the first part of his life, and then we're going to come together around the word and read more about who he is. So Joseph, he has 11 brothers, and they hate him. He's his father's favorite, and they hate him for this. He starts having dreams which his brothers become jealous of, and they decide to kill him. They then decide that killing him is too complicated, so what they're going to do is they're just going to sell him into slavery instead. And in slavery, he's bought by somebody named Potiphar. He's the captain of Pharaoh's guard. And Joseph becomes a well-liked and well-respected man in this household. But during his time there, he ends up imprisoned for a crime that he did not commit. Yet God had a plan for his life. Will you turn with me to Genesis 40 in your Bible? If you've got your own Bible, it's going to come up on the screen, but if you've got your own Bible, I'd encourage you to read it. It's great to read scripture in our own Bible because we can remember it better. We remember it where it was in our word. Genesis 40, and we're going to read 5 to 12, and then we'll do 20 to 23. While they were in prison, Pharaoh's cupbearer and baker each had a dream one night, and each dream had its own meaning. When Joseph saw them next morning, he noticed that they both looked upset. "Why do you look so worried today?" he asked them. And they replied, "We both had dreams last night, but nobody can tell us what they mean." "Interpreting dreams is God's business," Joseph replied. "Go ahead, tell me your dreams." So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream first. "In my dream," he said, "I saw a grapevine in front of me. The vine had three branches that began to bud and blossom, and soon it produced clusters of grapes. I was holding Pharaoh's wine cup in my hand, so I took a cluster of the grapes and squeezed the juice into the cup. Then I placed the cup in Pharaoh's hands." Verse 12, "This is what the dream means," Joseph says. "The three branches represent 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift you up and restore you to your position as chief cupbearer. And please remember me and do me a favor when things go well for you. Mention me to Pharaoh so he might let me out of this place. For I was kidnapped from my homeland, the land of the Hebrews, and now I'm here in prison and I did nothing to deserve it." And then we'll just skip those verses. But then Joseph goes on to interpret the dream for the chief baker. And his news isn't quite so good. And Joseph interprets it and says that in 3 days, Pharaoh is going to kill you. In verse 20, we pick it back up. "As Pharaoh's birthday came 3 days later, he prepared a banquet for all his officials and staff. He summoned his chief cupbearer and chief baker to join the other officials. He then restored the chief cupbearer to his former position so he could again hand Pharaoh's cup. But Pharaoh impaled the chief baker, just as Joseph had predicted when he interpreted his dream. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, however, forgot all about Joseph, never giving him another thought." When Joseph, as I said at the beginning, had dreams when he was back home with his brothers, he learned a lesson that he needed in prison. He had learned that interpreting dreams was God's business. Sometimes when we feel we're in a prison place, there are lessons that God has taught us in our past that we need to remember, which will be keys for us to move on from that place into our future. Or for in Joseph's case, he went from the prison to the palace. We move on, and in Genesis 41, we're now going to read from. Pharaoh, who's the king, has now had dreams, and he asks the magician and the wise men of the time, he asks them, what do these dreams mean? I can't interpret it. And as we read before, the cupbearer, he is now with Pharaoh, and the cupbearer remembers Joseph. Genesis 41, 9 to 16. "Finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up. Today I have remembered my failure," he told Pharaoh. "Some time ago, you were angry with the chief baker and me, and you imprisoned us in the palace of the captain of the guard. One night, the chief baker and I each had a dream, and each dream had its own meaning. One night, there was a young Hebrew man with us in the prison who was a slave of the captain of the guard, and we told him our dreams, and he told us what each of our dreams meant. Everything happened just as he predicted." Verse 14, "Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought from the prison." And this then becomes the turning point in Joseph's life. Pharaoh asks him in verse 15, "Can you interpret my dream?" And he says, verse 16, "It is beyond my power to do this, but God can tell you what it means, and set you at ease. In this moment of Joseph's life, he understood the character of God. He knew the sovereignty of God all throughout his life. He knew it was God's sovereignty that had stopped him from being killed by his brothers. He had then protected him when he was sold into slavery. He had promoted him in the prison. He had given him the opportunity to interpret the dream for the cupbearer. And here he was now, standing in front of Pharaoh, still giving God the glory. It is beyond my power to do this. Joseph is saying, it's not for me. I'm giving God all the glory. And then Joseph speaks into being what God is doing for Pharaoh. But God can tell you what this means, he says to him. You know, so often I believe we get into like this little spot at life. This verse is a tiny detail in a huge story that Joseph has in the Bible. But this is the turning point for him. This is the moment when Joseph recognizes God in his past, and he chooses to see him in his present, and he trusts him in that moment with his future. He could have so easily been like, oh yeah, I'm the dream interpreter. I know what I'm doing. Or he could have so easily been like, I'm not interpreting a dream for you. What if I get it wrong? This man's going to kill me. But he knows the sovereign and consistent character of God, who's not failed him up until now and everything he's gone through. He knows that he's not going to fail him again. What God revealed to Joseph in his past defined how he acted in his present. When we know and trust the sovereignty of God, it doesn't matter if we're in a pit, a prison, or a palace. He is using it to display his character all throughout our lives. As I quoted before, Hebrews 13, 5 to 8 says, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, as I said, I might have said at the beginning, but God had really been in the end of 2023 reminding me of some of the memories and the things that he has done in my yesterday. I really felt like he was bringing to mind some of the places that he's been and some of the things that had happened in my life that have brought me to where I am just now. And I want to tell you just a couple stories that really sort of hopefully hit home on this. As Aaron said at the beginning, I moved down here and worked in this church about 7 years ago, and I worked here for 2 years, and at the end of that, I felt like God saying, it's time to go back to home, it's time to go back to Glasgow, which you might guess I'm from. And I did that, and I was at home, and for about 4 months, I worked in a coffee shop, and I was doing a bit of like zero-hour contract work in this conference centre. And I remember just before Christmas, my mum said to me, and she was just being a good mum, don't worry, she was just being a mum, but she said, do you not think we should sort of try and work out what we're doing with our life a little bit? Do you not think we should find a job or sort of let's try and work out what we're doing? Because I was just sort of like floating around, not really doing much. And I distinctly remember, and it wasn't like some big word that came from God. It wasn't some hounding voice or anything like that. I just felt within me, I just feel like God's got something for me. I just feel like I'm not actually meant to do anything right now. I'm just meant to wait because I feel like he might have something for me. So my mum one day was at church and she was talking to this lady who didn't really know me that well, and they start talking about me and she's saying, what's Chloe doing? And mum's like, oh, I'm not really sure. And this lady, they were just chatting, and this lady went home, and one day she was hoovering in her house. And as she was hoovering, she felt like God said to her, you need to give that girl a job. And she was like, oh God, I can't just walk into work the next day and just say I've got somebody I need to employ. It doesn't really work like that. And she didn't really know me, and she just was like, God, I can't do that. And God said, I'm going to make a way. You need to give that girl a job. So after Christmas, she said to my mum, oh, you know, would Chloe like to come in and do a little bit of volunteering work in this charity that I work for? My mum was like, yes, take her, please. And I went, and I was like, oh, yeah, you know, this is okay. And I'm sitting there, and I'm typing away and doing a little bit of admin work. I didn't really know what I was doing. And this lady, who wasn't her, was another lady who was looking after me. She was looking out for me, and she said, oh, can we have a chat? And I was like, oh, I've only been here 5 hours. What have I done wrong? And I go and I sit down. She said, how are you doing? I said, yeah, I'm doing okay. And she said, are you enjoying it? And I said, yeah, you know, trying to be all professional. Yeah, I'm enjoying it. And she said, oh, great, because we'd like to offer you a job. And I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah, we'd like to offer you a paid position here 3 days a week for 3 months. And then after that, we'll see how it goes. And she was like, is that okay? And I was like, yeah, mum's going to be pleased. So they didn't interview me, which they probably should have. But anyway, they didn't interview me. They just gave me the job there and then on the spot. And mum picked me up from work and she said, how was it? And I said, yeah, good, got a job. So, and that was an incredible, incredible way that God provided. But God didn't just stop there. After those few months, they then said, great, we think you're doing brilliantly. We love having you. We would like to extend your contract. We'd like to pay you more. We'd like you to be here 4 days a week. And we'd like to do that until Christmas. So that was like another 9 months. And at the end of me being there, I absolutely loved that job. And they said, you can stay. We'd like to give you another promotion. We'd like you to choose exactly what department you want to work in and what you'd like to do. And I said, no, I want to move back down to Exeter. Me and Josh have been dating for about a year then. And I knew it was time for me to come back down here. But God provided for me in a way that I hadn't even asked. I hadn't even sat down and been like, God, I need a job. Maybe my mum had, I don't know. But like, I hadn't even been doing that. And he just came and just provided. And there was something in me that just knew something was shifting and something was going to happen. That God was moving and he was going to provide. So we fast forward now. It's 2022. I've just got married. I've been married for about 2 or 3 months. And I've been kind of itching to move on and to leave my job. And God said, wait until you're married. So I got married. I was like, okay, God, is it time? And he said, yeah, it's okay. You can leave now. You can go and find a new job. I started to look at jobs online. And I found this job that looked absolutely perfect. But it was only 4 days a week. And it was only a 2-year fixed term contract. And as I said, I just got married and we were paying rent and I didn't really know how much everything costed and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, oh, can I really do that? You know, is it going to work? All that kind of stuff. And I just felt that thing again of like, just apply and it'll be okay. If you get it, it'll be okay. And I thought, well, maybe what I'll do is I'll work there 4 days a week and on the fifth day, maybe I'll get another job. So I went and then I got an interview and they gave me the job and that was amazing. And I thought, okay, right, great. I've got the job now. Maybe I should get a job on the fifth day. And I felt like God say that again. Again, just something in me just knew, don't get another job. Just wait. Just wait. Just do this for a bit. I'm going to provide. So I did that job for 3 months. And then they turned to me and they said, okay, great. We think you're doing brilliantly. We'd like to make you full time. Fabulous. Okay, I'm in there. I'm great. I thought this is fantastic. Full time job now. Still only 2 years, but you know, it's okay. 3 months later, they turn to me and say, okay, you're doing brilliantly. What we'd now like to do, we've created a job for you in this team that nobody's done before. We'd like you to do that job. We're going to promote you. We're going to make it full-time, and we're going to make it permanent. I'm now in that job, which is my absolute dream job. I didn't even know at the time that that was going to be, and that was under a year of me starting that job that I'm now doing this. And actually, I don't think I would have applied for that job where I am now in my dream job if it hadn't been for that happened at the beginning. Because I knew that God had provided for me. I knew that everything was going to be okay and that he had done that before. And if this was right, he would do it again. And actually, I trusted in that moment that all throughout this job, as I've kind of moved and contracts have changed and all that kind of stuff, I'm now doing exactly what I love to do. And it's only from the experience, literally the work experience and what God did, that I'm standing here today and being able to tell you the story of the provision of God in my life. Because it didn't stop there. I had that situation in Glasgow, God provided, and then God provided again for the second job. And then God provided again a month later when my husband turned to me and said, I feel like God's saying I should leave my job. I was like, okay, God's going to provide. And then it happened again when we bought our house. God's going to provide. And then it happened again this week when I had a tough time at work. God's going to provide. And then it happened again, as Aaron said, when I'm prepping for this preach and I'm really struggling. God's going to provide. And it happens again when I'm standing here and talking in front of you today. God's going to provide. And it will happen tomorrow when I walk into work and I talk to my colleagues about how my weekend's gone and I tell them about church, because God's going to provide. Because I believe, as I said before, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Joseph, God was the same for Joseph in the pit, in the prison, and the palace. And all the way through, Joseph knew the sovereignty of God in his life. And he said, it is beyond my power to do this. It is beyond my power to interpret these dreams. And I stand here today because I believe in the unwavering provision of God in my life. And I believe that God wants each of us to remember and recognize some of the things that he has done in our life, some of the ways of his consistent character that we have seen throughout our lives that maybe we've just forgotten a little bit about. There'll be people in this room that will have huge faith stories of God healing people in your life and bringing people back to Him and sorting family situations out. And there'll also be people in this room who have great stories of talking to people about Jesus, of Jesus answering their prayer when they were looking for a car parking space this morning. There is faith stories in everything and every one of our lives. And God, I believe, wants to reveal more of these to us. Joseph wasn't to know when he had those dreams back home about his brothers bowing down to him, that one day they would literally bow down to him. And he wasn't to know when he interpreted the cupbearer's dream that he'd be given the opportunity to interpret Pharaoh's dream and he'd be promoted to second in command over a whole nation. And I wasn't to know when I first moved back to Glasgow, when I didn't really know what I was doing, that God was going to provide and provide and provide and provide. And I stand here today knowing that he'll continue to provide and provide and provide. I'd like to invite Sarah to come up, if that's okay. You may be here this morning and you may be saying, oh, Chloe, this is great, but I've not been a Christian that long, or I'm not actually a Christian, I'm just here, I'm just exploring the faith and what it might mean. I believe that God has spoken to each of us, has done stuff in each of our lives this morning. And you might not know what that is, and it might be before you've come to faith, or it might be something that you've got no idea about. But I believe that God has done something in each of our lives that he wants to reveal to us this morning. You might also be thinking, oh, Chloe, these things are great, but they seem to have happened quite recently for you. I don't believe God's done something in my life in years. I believe that God has done something in your life, and he wants to remind you of those things. He wants you to know and live out that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe that there is people in this room of the oldest generation who God wants to remind you of stuff that he did even in your youth. And he wants you to not look back at those as the glory days and the good old days, but remember his consistent character. If he's done it before, he'll do it now and he'll do it again. This is our divine assignment, not just for today, not just for tomorrow, but for every day of 2024 and beyond, for the difficult days, for the good days, to be people who remember what he's done and live in the truth that he is going to do it again, that he is consistent. He is a consistent God. I'd love you to stand with me, if that's okay, if you're willing and able. We're going to take a moment now, if that's okay, just to ask God to remind us of where he has been in our lives. We believe in a God who is close to us and a God who speaks to us. And sometimes we can get a bit religious in our prayers, a bit like, oh God, remind me of this thing. But like I said earlier, sometimes it's just that thought or that feeling that he just puts on us. He just says, I'm here. Remember that thing. Remember that time. God wants a relationship with us. So the question is going to come up on the screen, but I just want you to take a moment in prayer individually to ask God the question, God, where have you been in my life? It may be things from a long time ago, or it may be something that just happens daily. Where have you been in my life, God? And as you may start to recall, and as God maybe starts to speak to you about some of the memories and some of the things he's done in your life, our next question to God is, what lessons did you teach me in my yesterday that you want me to take into my today and my tomorrow and my forever? Hebrews 13:8 says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've brought to mind memories of where you have been in our lives. And we thank you that you have always been there for us. And we speak who you are and who you will always be over our present and our future. You are a God who is faithful and provides. You are a God of hope. You are a God who brings truth. You are a God who loves. You are the sovereign high king over our lives. You are a God who heals. You are a God who delivers. And we believe that you are the same today as you were before and as you will be again. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the consistent character that you are in each of our lives. Amen. 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 As we go into our final song, I just want us to take a moment. There might be people in this room, and I felt it before when Aaron was praying that prayer, that you have maybe in your past, you remember and you recall memories of when God was your healer or when God was your provider or when God gave you faith. But you're standing right now in the middle of a situation where actually you can't seem to see God's provision in your life. You're really struggling to understand and to see that that's what he's doing right now and that's what he'll continue to do forever. And that's okay because we're human and sometimes life gets tough. But what I would love you to do, if you're willing and if you'd like to, we're going to have a team of people down the front who would love to pray for you. And all they're going to do is pray God's consistent character and the name of God over your life and over the situation you're in right now. And even though you can't see that God is that thing that he might be have done before, he is your provider, he is your healer, he is your hope. We want to pray that over you right now, that you will see that and you will know that in a situation that you might be in right now. So if that's you, I'd love you to come to the front. There'll be a team of people here to pray. And the band are going to lead us in our final song. Thank you, band.